I speak this evening as someone who is a denizen of the Beis Medrash, primarily directed to those of you who are regular denizens of the Beis Medrash, or those who aspire to be. The raison d'etre of this institution is this room and all of the Batei Medrash in this institution. It is, and it must be, the heart and soul of the institution. We may not make any mistakes as to where our priorities must lie. However, the question that I wish to deal with this evening is how those of us who consider this room our home relate to the outside world, or what we might term the other. There are two statements of Chazal, one of which I am sure that all of you are familiar with, which, while with careful analysis, I believe do not contradict one another, nonetheless, I think that sometimes express a certain tension. The famous passage is the Tefillah of Rav Nechunya, which is referred to by the Mishnah in Brachos, and is also recited, and I think that's why most of you are familiar with it, in the Siyum. The Tefillah that he would recite after leaving the Beis Medrash, Modani lefonecha Hashem Elokai shesamta chelki miyoshvei Beis HaMedrash velo samta chelki miyoshvei Konos she'ani mashkim vehei mashkim vehei mashkimim ani mashkim ledivrei Torah vehei mashkimim ledvarim betelim ani omel vehei amelim ani omel lekabel sachar vehei amelim ve'enam mekabel sachar ani rotz vehei rotzim ani rotz lechayel maba vehei rotzim lever shachas. There is a pasuk that's quoted which is really not part of the Hadron, or not part of the Tefillah, which crept in somehow very late. But nonetheless, this particular Tefillah expresses almost a contempt for a certain type of person who's not Miyoshvei Beis HaMedrash, the Yoshvei Kronos. On the other hand, the Gemara in the first parak, second parak in Brachos, not as well known, cites among various Tefillos and popular sayings, Amargala b'pumayhu d'rabbonon d'yavne. It was a treasure, a pearl, that was recited or frequently stated by the Chachamim of Yavne. Ani beria v'chavevi beria. I'm a creature, I'm a person, my friend is a person. Ani malachti ba'ir v'hu malachto basadeh. My work is in the city, I have the easy work. I'm from the Beis Medrash, but he works in the field. Ani mashkim l'mlachti v'hu mashkim l'mlachto. I arise early in the morning to do my work, he arises early in the morning to do his work. Just as he does not belittle my malacha, I do not belittle his malacha either. Unless you might say, but I study Torah much more than he does. Shoninu, we taught in the Mishnah, it's not the quantity that counts, but the intent. And thus, I should not regard myself as better than him. In theory, there really is no conflict between these two passages. As the Yushalmi's version of Tfilas Rav Nechunya indicates, instead of having Yoshvei Kronos, the Yushalmi has Holchei Batei Tartios VeKarkeseos, the people who attend the theaters and the circuses. Perhaps the equivalent in Roman times today would be those people who would take their, at least in a certain context, who would take their Friday nights and their weekends in the pursuit of video games, alcohol, and perhaps other things that aren't mentionable in this context. The Margala, however, refers to people who spend their days engaged in productive enterprises, but they're not able to dedicate either because simply they don't have the time or because they don't have the inclination or the ability to dedicate most of their time to purely spiritual pursuits. But unfortunately, it is too easy to miss the distinction and to lump everybody into two categories. There is us, and there's them. I want to tell you a few stories. Storytelling seems to be very popular these days. Frequently, you walk into classes and you see students with laptops in front of them. My students know I'm not a big fan of this. Once upon a time, there was a student who was sitting, and he was, instead of playing video games or engaged in other kinds of batal on his laptop during class, he was sitting and learning Torah, which is certainly a highly laudable activity. If you're going to be not paying attention and doing something else, I guess it probably is a better thing to be doing. But when the professor asks students to close their laptops, and the student continues with his laptop open, continues to learn, well, that's a problem. Apparently, the learning is so important that the rules don't apply to this student. A number of years ago, different story, a student of mine told me something that shocked him. At the time, he was in another shir in another building, and he told me that once he was walking up the stairs on his way to shir, and the student walking in front of him let the door close on him. Now, it wasn't by accident. The student knew it, because afterwards, moments later, when the student saw who came through the door, that my student came through the door, he said to, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were one of the guys on the shir." So what exactly was going through his mind? What was he? He wasn't one of the guys in the shir, so he wasn't a human being? You didn't hold the door open for the next person walking through? More recently, a student came to me. He was bothered by something that I had spoken about. And in his comments, what emerged was that he was troubled somehow that perhaps in my comments I maybe equated the inherent value of a person who sits and studies Torah in the Beis Medrash with some, I don't remember his exact terminology, I'll put it politely, some non-Jew who might be sitting on the corner of a street in Washington Heights. And somehow I suggested that perhaps in the eyes of God, he, would, as a denizen of the Beis Medrash, might not be more inherently valuable than this other person. All three of these stories betray a certain degree of arrogance directed towards the outside world. The first is the Ben Beis Medrash, who feels that the rules don't apply to him. Yeah, the teacher asks everybody to close their computers at this particular time, but somehow he doesn't have to. And I might add in this vein that sometimes there might perhaps be some Kollel students who know that there are rules that require them to have night seder every night if they're going to be taking a stipend from the Kollel, and nonetheless, somehow some of them, I'm told, I don't know if it's true, think that the rules don't apply to them. The second is the student who makes clear that if the other person isn't one of us, he's not one of our guys, then he's not even due the basic modicum of derech eretz and respect as a human being. I can let the door close in his face. He's not one of our guys. And finally, the student who is so sure how perfect he or we are as Yoshua Beis Medrash, as opposed to the goy on the street corner of Washington Heights. So when I heard that, it sort of struck a chord because I remember something many years ago I heard from Moi Rabbi Rav Schechter. I don't remember what context he said it in Shir, but he was commenting about how we have a tendency to think that the world exists because of us. We are the focal point. We are the most important things in the world. And we think that the world is miskayim because of our zechus. And he said, you know, that may not be the case. It could be that the non-Jewish janitor in the hallway who does his job at Emes Femuna, who works his 40 hours a week and never wastes a minute because he's employed and he's taking a paycheck, it could be that the Olam is miskayim because of his zechus, not because of my zechus. And that story stuck with me for a very long time. The question is, where does this attitude come from? A friend of mine told me very recently, he was in a certain yeshiva in a particular place. Now, you walk through the walls of this yeshiva upstairs, and even here, and sometimes you see pictures. You see pictures of Rabbeim, you see pictures of people learning the Beis Medrash. That's the kind of thing that you might see. He said he walked through this particular yeshiva kitana, it was an elementary school, and on the walls were lined not with pictures of people, not with pictures of art, it was lined with kol kores. It was lined with pronouncements against the evil people doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, historically, from a long time ago, from recently. And he was struck by the fact as to what message this sends to young children who are walking through the halls. The message that it sends is that it's us against them. These are all the things that are going outside. It's all terrible. I don't know that every institution actually has this, but even if it doesn't, I think that that kind of an attitude is found all too often in the walls of the Beis Medrash. And we make a jump from the fact that we are engaged in what is the most important activity to an assumption of our inherent self-worth and the fact that everything everybody else is doing is worth nothing. And that's an unwarranted leap. The Mishnah in Avos quotes among the many sayings of Hillel, Kana shem tov, kana le'atzma. If a person acquires a good name, a good reputation, he's acquired something for himself. The next line is Kana lo divrei Torah, Kana lo chai olam haba. If he acquires the Divrei Torah, he's acquired eternal life. And finally, the very next line, the next Mishnah, is from his student, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who says in Lamad Torah harbe, al tachzeik tov al atzmacha, ki lekach no tzarta. If you have studied and acquired a lot of Torah, don't think yourself so great. That's your job. That's why you were created. The question is, what is the connection between these statements? And I was struck, and I looked, and I noticed that Tosfos Yontif quotes an interpretation of the first two statements, confirming at least what I thought, is that the Mishnah says, Kana Shem Tov, Kana La'atzma. That's one madrega. But that's not as great as someone who's Kana Lo Divrei Torah. That's a much greater madrega. So, of course, it's possible that a person might look at the Mishnah and say, look, it's one thing to have a good reputation. It's one thing to be regarded highly by other people. That's nice, but I'd rather learn more Torah. That's more important to me. In fact, you can't have the second if you don't have the first. If you're not Kana Shem Tov, if you walk outside and people think little of you because of your behavior, then you can't get to the step of Kana Lo Divrei Torah, Kana Lo Chai Olam Haba. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along in the next Mishnah and says, don't look at the previous line thinking that Kana Lo Torah is more important, therefore you can ignore Kana Lo Shem Tov. No. Im lamadata Torah harbe, al tachzeik tov al atzmacha. Just because you've learned Torah, that's what you do, that doesn't give you a right to think yourself so important. Ki lekach no tzarta. That's your job. It's nothing so great to boast about. I should add another layer that I think is relevant here. I think that people, that when we exhibit such an attitude towards people outside the Beis Medrash, we exhibit a total lack of self-awareness. Most of us who find ourselves in this room did not get here on our own. Some of you were born into a certain place and state where this was the natural path in life. Others of us have been fortunate enough to have role models that inspired us. Many a student that you will pass in the hall who hasn't become acquainted with the Beis Medrash, literally or figuratively, and maybe even one of those students who's not wearing a kippah, do you know why? Do you know where that person comes from? Do you know his life trajectory that brought him to this current state? Perhaps he had a different set of experiences. Perhaps he comes from somewhere where he didn't have the opportunities that many of us have had. It doesn't mean that we believe that's the correct choice in life, but al todin es chavercha ad shetagia lemkomo. If you are here now and listening to me, it is almost certain that you didn't get here on your own. This attitude also brings real losses. Number one is the failure to learn from others. There is so much to be learned from people who are not miyoshvei HaBeis Medrash. If you don't believe that any of them have anything to teach you, you will never learn. Ezel chacham halamed mikol adam. Furthermore, it contributes to the character trait of arrogance, which, as the Rambam notes in Hilchos Deos, is the only midah to which the golden mean doesn't apply. Not even a shminis shebishminis. Number three, it brings about tremendous chilul Hashem. Our job as Bnei Torah is to allow the light of Torah to shine even outside the Beis Medrash. There is so much that Torah and that the world of the Beis Medrash has to offer the outside world, even those people who don't enter the Beis Medrash. But if people outside this room perceive us to be arrogant, to think ourselves better than they are, they will want to have nothing to do with us, or God forbid, even with the Torah. What's more, these attitudes about other people outside of our Dalet Amos spill over to inside our Dalet Amos. It relates to how we interact with other people in the Beis Medrash. This guy's hat, his hat's the wrong color. His yarmulke's the wrong kind. He went to the wrong yeshiva in Israel. And he's in the wrong shir. It will not limit itself to how we treat people outside our world. It will spill over and it will infect our attitudes towards people who sit even within our Dalet Amos. I believe that our responsibility and our task is absolutely clear. We need to consider carefully what our attitudes are to those who are not us, where those attitudes emerge from, why those attitudes are inappropriate and damaging, and how we will go about changing those attitudes. Ultimately, our judgment is based upon how others look at us. The Gemara in Yoma discusses the concept of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. And the definition of Chilul Hashem as presented by the Gemara fundamentally revolves around B'nai Torah and how others look at them. The Gemara asks the question, Hechi Dami Chilul Hashem. So one opinion cited as saying, Kosha Chaverav Mispaishrin Machmash Shmuasa. Those whose friends are embarrassed when they hear what people say about him. And I imagine that some of you, if not many of you, have stepped outside this room and have heard people complain about the way certain people in this room behave, about the attitudes of certain people in our home. The Gemara continues with Abaye, who cites a very famous brisa. I've cited it many times before, but that's not going to stop me now. Abaye says that the definition of Kiddush Hashem is the brisa that states, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, Shehishem Shemayim Is'ayav Al-Yadcha. God becomes beloved through your actions. Shehekore v'shona mishamish tamidei chachamim, that one should study Torah shebichsav, Torah shebalpeh, and then observe the behavior of tamidei chachamim and serve them. V'yehe masano umatano b'nachas im habrios. And the person engages appropriately, with respect, with derech eretz towards everybody else. Ma habrios omros olav. What do people say about such a person? Ashrei aviv shelimdo Torah. Praise be his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabo shelimdo Torah. Praise be his rabbeim who taught him Torah. Oy loy lahem lebriyo shelolam nu Torah. Woe to those creatures who don't study Torah. Ploni shelama Torah. So-and-so who studied Torah. Re'u kama dunayim drachav kama mesukanim masav. See how beautiful his ways are. See how proper his deeds are. Olav akasav omer about him. The Torah states, the Navi states, Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael asher becha ispar. God takes pride in such an individual. Aval mishakore v'shona mishamish talmidei chachamim. Someone who does engages in the same type of Talmud Torah. V'ein maso matano b'muna. When he engages in business, he's deceitful. People know that he's not straight. V'ein dibura b'nachas ma'brios. He doesn't interact nicely with people. He doesn't show them basic derech eretz. Ma brios omros olav. What do people say about him? Oilo leploni shelama Torah. Woe to so-and-so who learned Torah. Oilo leaviv shelimdo Torah. Woe to his father who taught him Torah. Oilo lerabo shelimdo Torah. Woe to his rabbeim who taught him Torah. Ploni shelama Torah. Re'u kama mechu kolam asav v'kama mechu arim drachav. Rabosai, I think that the options and the message are very clear. We can make a difference. We can make a difference not only inside the world of the Beis Medrash, but outside the world as well. But the choice is ours. Either we will look at everybody outside of this room as somehow beneath us, as different, as not worthy of respect, or we can understand that Imlamadat Torah Harbe al Tachsei Tova La'atzmacha ki lekach notzarta. Our tafkid is to study Torah. Our tafkid is to let that light shine into the world so that everybody else, even if they don't join us, even if they can't enter the Beis Medrash, figuratively or literally, they will at least have respect for us, they will have respect for what we do, and ultimately they will have respect for Torah. Good evening.